It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey here on your home for Kansas City sports. Royals will play Saturday, 5:38 on Monday. 5:38 or 17:38 when it comes to the Royals on Saturday. Getting to that point. Trying to hold it in. Trying not to get too over the top with it.
But you got to get through today. Today's a big day of just kind of waiting, right? Like they always say the wait is the hardest part. And I think a lot of people are into that kind of stage now because, you know, in baseball, you're used to, hey, let's go, man. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then all of a sudden you get to the postseason and it's like, okay, let's go, let's go. And now let's stop for a few days and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And so as we sit here and wait, as we sit here and, you know, kind of twiddle our thumbs and figure out what we're going to do to kill the time in between now and 5:30 tomorrow afternoon, I guess we just sit there and hope, right? Like everything turns out for the best and that everybody comes to the ballpark tomorrow on the Royals side of thing and plays their A game, man. Like Michael Wacha, go out there and hold down that lineup. They're giving you the ball in game one. That's a big, 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 big compliment to get that ball in game one at Yankee Stadium. And so Michael Wacha, man, go out and do your thing. And this offense, go out and score a couple of runs. You don't need to score 100 runs or anything like that. Get you 2-3 runs, and you got an opportunity to win this thing because the Royals' bullpen has been lights out over their last 40 innings. They've given up one run. The starters have been fantastic, you know, through the postseason at the end of last year, and that's what you need. That's the recipe to have success in the Bronx is score a couple of runs and pitch like you've been pitching, and this series will just take care of itself.
I'm interested because, I don't know, I hit you with a little comment this morning that this is one of those series where there are two outstanding baseball athletes that are going up head-to-head with each other, which is Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people will probably disagree with this. That's fine. But I know Juan Soto is on in the lineup for the Yankees. I know Salvador Perez is in the lineup for the Royals. Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. both cannot afford an off night in these series. And the reason I say that is because this is different than a regular season where if Aaron Judge goes out there in game 99 and strikes out three times and four at bats and the Yankees lose, there's no big deal.
Nobody cares.
If he goes out there tonight or Saturday and goes over four or three strikeouts and the Yankees lose,
he's getting
four
crushed.
To two, they're going to ask him, everyone's going to shift. Mm-hmm. If Bobby Witt Jr. goes out for the Royals and goes 0 for 4 in game one and they don't win and they lose 6-1, people are going to be like, well, shoot. If Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get on or doesn't make things, you know, hectic, Royals can't win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of where these two guys are within their careers already for Bobby Witt Jr. And obviously they're with Aaron Judge. And you've mentioned all week, there's a ton of pressure on Aaron Judge in New York.
Oh, God, yes.
That's the contract that you bear. That's the bed that you make that you must sleep in, is that if you want to become one of these guys in New York, just like we just talked about Pete Alonso. He's going to have a contract that he can sign in the offseason. If he wants to stay with New York and they're a playoff team this year, they're now going to expect Pete Alonso to always be this Pete Alonso. It's just the territory.
Right.
And I think that does kind of play into the playoffs. I think also like 9 days off, it's kind of like, you know, who are we going to play? Who do we prepare for? I'm sure the Yankees have one of those hitting nets in their dugout, unlike the Royals.
Right.
But again, I'm not trying to give excuses. I just think that that's where these two guys are in their careers already for Bobby and where Aaron Judge has kind of built his clout. Aaron Judge is the guy that hits the home runs. He's the guy that's like the face of the Yankees, which are the face of baseball. Mm-hmm. Always have been, always will be. It is what it is. But if Aaron Judge goes 0 for 4 and strikes out three times, that means you're depending on Juan Soto, who hits before Aaron Judge. No matter what he does, Aaron Judge isn't doing anything for him to do that, which means Juan Soto is irrelevant. And the same thing is without Salvador Perez, or with Bobby Witt Jr. He's got Vinny and Sal behind him. I don't know how much pop Vinny has. I know that he's playing. He's able to, like, put the ball in play, which is more than anybody else can do.
So you don't need home runs.
But if Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get on, Vinny Pasquantino is useless in the lineup.
Yep.
And if Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get on and Vinny Pasquantino, then you it's like, well, then Salvador Perez, you know, he doesn't really have that chance. So those two guys who anchor both of these teams, one off night, you can guarantee the other team's going to win.
Well, and you know, you look at Aaron Judge, too, and the pressure that is surrounding him is mighty. He is the most prominent athlete on the most important sports team in New York City. And when you hold that face and when you wear that C on your jersey with the Yankees, you've got to do good things, not in the regular season, but in the postseason. And Aaron Judge hasn't done that yet. I mean, he has not led his team to a championship. And you look at all those retired numbers out there. I'm sure one day Aaron Judge wants his number 99 retired out there in Monument Park with the Yankees and to become one of the legends of the game. And that probably will happen because he mashes a lot of home runs and we saw what he did last year and setting records and all that kind of stuff. But if he doesn't win a championship in New York, he's going to be looked at as a yeah, but guy in Yankee history. Like, yeah, he was really good, but he was a captain that never led his team to a championship. And so I think there is immense pressure on Aaron Judge. I was talking to a buddy of mine who came over last night. We're sitting out there watching these baseball games talking about this stuff. And he was like, yeah, I agree with you. Aaron Judge has more pressure on him than maybe any other athlete we've seen in our lifetimes when it comes to trying to win a championship. And if Aaron Judge doesn't go out there and lead the Yankees to a championship, he's always going to have that hanging over his head. And the Yankees now, too, they're looking at this saying, our nemesis, the Astros, are out. Our nemesis, the Orioles, are out. We just have to get through the American League Central. And so they've got themselves what a lot of people are considering an easier road than if it was the Astros or Orioles in front of them. But I don't think it is an easier road. I think the Yankees are going to have to be on their A game. Aaron Judge is going to have to play big. And if Aaron Judge doesn't play big and they're not on their A game, then the Yankees are going to be going home. And you're right about that. The same goes for the Royals as well. If Bobby Witt doesn't have the series that we need Bobby Witt to have, then the Royals are going to go home. This is where your stars have to be stars. And that's kind of the theme of the postseason. Your stars need to be stars. Pete Alonso, 6 months ago, was a star in New York. He was like, oh my God, we got to re-sign this guy. We can't let him get the free agency. Had a very milquetoast type of season. And then in the postseason, he was a star last night. Your stars need to be big. Your stars need to raise their level of play because they're stars for a reason. And so Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge, I think it is the two biggest stars going head-to-head in this postseason. Which one is going to lead their team to a victory? Because that's the way it's all going to be spun. If the Yankees win, it's Aaron Judge and the Yankees advance. If the Royals win, it's Bobby Witt and the Royals advance. If either of those teams lose, Aaron Judge couldn't help the Yankees win. Bobby Witt couldn't help the Royals win. And it's going to fall back to them because they are the big stars. This is the biggest moment that Bobby Witt's ever had. This is the biggest moment Aaron Judge has ever had. Which one of these stars is going to be the best player on the field? And ultimately, Dusty, I think that determines who wins this game, this series. Which star shows up the biggest? And if Aaron Judge wilts under pressure, if Bobby wilts under pressure, then their teams are not going to win the series.
It's interesting when you go into these series, how much pressure obviously amounts up in the situation. Like it's going to be, and I know you all probably already know this. It's going to be electric on Saturday night.
Oh God, yes.
It is New York Yankees. It is the Bronx. It is playoff baseball. It is a different atmosphere there. And you can go into that place and really cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really cut it out. Like, they do their little chants in right field where they call out every player and get a tip of the cap from him and then give him a round of applause. It's like a Premier League soccer game in Manchester.
Yeah, it really is.
They've got their cult following. They have their iconic pinstripes. They have the Monument Park. You know that everybody that's come from New York is considered great. They're the evil empire. But by God, if you have Bobby Witt Jr. get up in there in the first inning and hit an absolute piss missile, that crowd will go silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people and those athletes, and I'm not saying it's the first thing that comes to their mind. I shouldn't say that. That's my apology. But one of the things that comes to their mind is, well, shoot. All right, we got to win this game, but we're not going to hear the end of it. And that's one game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I can promise you that if we come into the show Monday and the Royals do happen to lose on Saturday, it will not be doom and gloom, sky is falling.
No, it should not be.
Because I'll know that they have Cole Reagans. Whereas right. the Yankees will forget that their roster is $500 million. But that $500 million roster, it ain't so good against the Royals pitchers. Aaron Judge, 1-for-28 versus Lugo, Reagans, and Waka.
Not good. 0-36.
Jazz Chisholm, 1-for-18.
0-55.
With those three guys. Giancarlo Stanton, formerly known as Mike, 7-for-34, two home runs.
But only a 205 average.
Decent.
Yeah.
Volpe, Bob, easy math, 0-for-11.
Zero.
Juan.
He's Lutarski.
Juan Soto, intentionally walk him every time.
Every time. Don't pitch to Soto.
Pitch to him and strike out Judge. He is 8-of-26, two home runs with a what average?
307.
Pretty solid.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And then Gleyber Torres, yeah. 4-of-29.
So do you walk Soto and pitch to Judge in that type of situation? I mean, the numbers would say that you do, but logic would say you probably don't in those type of situations either. If right. you walk Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge, you know what that's going to do to Aaron Judge. That's going to piss him off, and then Aaron Judge is going to go out there and absolutely rake against you because right. that shows disrespect yeah. to Aaron Judge. That's why when you look at these numbers, they're great and everything, and that's why I predicted the Royals in two because the Yankees are going to surrender after game two and just not want to come to Kansas City and waste the fuel on the plane and all the travel expenses. But if you walk around Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge will make you pay for in sure. that type of series. So I don't think you could do that. But the numbers are really staggering when you look at the middle of that lineup and you look at what they're doing against these three Royal starters mm. that are going to be rolled out there in this series. I mean, you're going to see Reagans, Waka, and Lugo. And you're not going to see anybody else start for the Royals. That's going to be it. It's going to be Waka, Reagans, Lugo. And then if it goes game five back to New York, you're going to see Cole Reagans in game five. So he sets up for game two and game five if it should go all five games. And that's beautiful for the Royals to have Cole Reagans in there at least twice. But, you know, these guys have dominated the Yankees over the course of their careers, with the exception of Giancarlo Stanton. Like, he's the, or Juan Soto, I'm sorry, and Stanton, too. He's got a couple of home runs. Mm. Those are the two guys in the lineup that you really have to be wary of. And all of that stuff with the Yankees and the crowd and the chanting and the stadium and the history and Monument Park, none of that's playing the game. It all comes down to the players. It all comes down to the pitching. It all comes down to making the right decisions in the dugout. I think we have the advantage in the manager over Aaron Boone. I think we have the advantage in starting pitching, in my opinion, on the mound. The only thing we don't have an advantage of is having a couple of mashers in the middle of the lineup like Soto and Judge and Stanton. And you know what? You don't really need those mashers in the lineup.
Right.
So I just think the Royals match up so good right now with the New York Yankees. And I'm really excited. Like, I'm not going to be shocked if the Royals win this series at all. I'll be stunned if they lose this series. I will absolutely be shocked if they lose this series to the Yankees, because on paper, they match up with New York better than maybe anybody in baseball right now.
Last time the Yankees and Royals played, the Royals lost two of three.
Yep.
But their starting pitching was actually good. Cole Reagans, 6 innings, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, and the loss, they would lose that game 4-3.
Mm-hmm. And that was back when you couldn't rely on the bullpen, Dusty. I mean, the Royals came yeah. here in June, and they took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees. And then we just went to New York at the beginning of September, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and played the Yankees and lost 2 out of 3 to New York. But it wasn't because of the starting pitching. It was because of the bullpen. But now you look at the bullpen right now. They're pitching great. 1 run in 40 innings of their last 40 innings since middle of September. Like, I'm ready to ride with this bullpen, and I think what they've shown us in Baltimore, what they've shown us for the last 40 innings, we should all be ready to ride with this bullpen. We should all be excited about this bullpen and not worry when that bullpen door opens and Sam Malone comes in, or Angel Zerpa comes in, or Ursay comes in. Like, it just doesn't matter who's coming in out of that bullpen right now, because those guys have been pitching their asses off, and they do give you an opportunity to win. They're not costing you the game anymore. And I had somebody in baseball tell me, they go, usually in the playoffs, the thing that kills you all season long turns around and bites you in the postseason again. And I said, so you mean the bullpen for the Royals? He's like, yeah, the bullpen for the Royals wasn't good all season long. Usually that's what gets you in the playoffs. But at this point in time, as we're seeing, this isn't your father's Royals bullpen or your newborn baby's bullpen, because they're going out there and they're dominating. They're getting guys out and they're making great pitches, and they're giving their team an opportunity to win these games.
When Seth Lugo would play against them, the last time they played, they would win 5-0. Seven innings, three hits, 10 strikeouts for Lugo.
Nice.
They played the Yankees earlier on in the season where they lost 3 of 4.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, Singer pitched in one of those games.
Lugo pitched in the opener. But then the rest of your starters were Singer, that Alberto guy that we forget about that pitched.
Who?
Yeah, your guy. You liked this guy. He was like one of your guys. His name was Dan out of Alia.
Oh, that guy. Alta Villa. Yeah,
you loved him. Yeah, you loved him until he played the Yankees.
Forgot that guy, yeah.
And Alec Marsh and Brady Singer. So they saw Cole Reagans once. They didn't see Waka. They saw Lugo twice, and he was pretty damn good both those times. So two guys they haven't seen in the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees would go 5-2 versus the Royals in their seven games, but they would not face Reagans more than once. They would not face Michael Waka, and the two times they faced Lugo, Lugo had his way. He didn't have his bullpen on one game, and the other one he was 5-0 shutout. He didn't need anybody.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that kind of tells the story right there. The Yankees beat the Royals 5 out of 7 games, but they didn't really face much good pitching.
They beat Singer twice. They beat Alec Marsh. They beat Albertos, and they beat Lugo 4-3. That was
a bullpen game. Yeah. So there you go. Like, I mean, that right there should tell you that this ball club is ready to go. The starting pitching is going to dominate for the Royals. I expect these to be low scoring games. I expect you to have to scratch out runs. I expect Garcia, if you're called on the bunch, you get the damn bunt down and you're able to bunt because runs are going to be a premium. I think you're going to have to play a small ball style of baseball to beat the Yankees. And I think if the Yankees want to win this series too, they should play a small ball style of ball and not try to hit home runs because it just doesn't work like that in the playoffs.
I also think it's fun to beat the Yankees too, if you can, because they just always seem to have those like players on their team that you just, everybody's like kind of in like agreement that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never really understood why anybody would like Paul O'Neill.
Okay. But great player though.
Sure. But like
great player,
big piss baby.
Yeah.
Right. That's Cody Tapp term. Yeah. So I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
A-Rod.
You didn't like A-Rod.
No one did, he played for A-Rod. A ton of teams, but he had to go to New York.
Right.
Roger Clemens.
Right.
Right. Threw a bat at Mike Piazza. Goes, I didn't know you were standing there. I was like, yeah, you did. And Mikey P was ready to rip your head off, too.
Oh, yeah.
So you think there's always that player. Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, teams. And so if MLB wants to, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction.
They took away his spider tag, and he had that explanation to say, like, well, the fans and players and coaches love it.
Yeah, 65-second word salad that said literally nothing and was just words. And I find that cut to be very important. Number one, because it shows that Garrett Cole was a cheater and then got busted and then had to use the spider tack, loosely, if you will. And can't use it anymore. However, they're doing things in baseball these days. But it also shows me there that Garrett Cole is not a gentleman who handles adversity well. And that's what I like most about this, because I think if the Royals can get to Garrett Cole early, Garrett Cole's the type of guy who doesn't know how to dig himself out and doesn't know how to fight back and doesn't know how to battle back. He's one of those guys when things are going great, he's a fantastic pitcher. But the minute you get into trouble, that's when Garrett Cole has the opportunity to be knocked out of a game, because an answer like that, it's a Zoom call in 2021. So everything's kind of still on Zoom because of what's going on in the world and whatnot. And you're doing a press conference on the heels of this spider tack thing being talked about. You should know going in that somebody's going to ask you, did you use spider tack? Did you cheat, allegedly, when you were on the mound? Did you use this stuff? And to not have an answer ready to go, to not be prepared, to not be focused, to not be dialed in, and to not like consider that that question may even be coming tells me that Gerrit Cole is not ready for the big moments. He wilts under pressure, and I'm excited to get a couple of runners on in the first inning and see Gerrit Cole absolutely melt out there on the mound, because that cut alone shows me everything I need to know about Gerrit Cole. He's not tough between the ears. Go after him early. Make him work hard. Make him struggle. Make him face adversity. He's not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill once hit 2 home runs for the Clippers. Oh, for a crippled child.
He did, absolutely. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why do I always do that to myself?
Because it was a TV show. But.
Okay. It's a Seinfeld reference.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.